Good morning, and welcome to the West Valley News Digest. It's Saturday, August 15, 2026. I'm Karen Kelly, your volunteer reader. I'll be starting out with news first from the West Valley View, which covers Buckeye, Avondale, Goodyear, and Tolleson. I'll then be covering Wickenburg news coming to us from the Wickenburg Sun. And at the bottom of the hour, I'll be reading news from Glendale, Peoria, and Surprise. So let's get started with news from westvalleyview.com. Our first article is Goodyear Certifies Election, Cancels November Ballot, written by Jimmy Van Wickler, West Valley View staff writer. The Goodyear City Council officially certified the results of the July 21st primary election during a special meeting on August 4th, confirming the election of Mayor Joe Pizzola and three council members, and eliminating the need for a November general election. The council unanimously adopted Resolution Number 2026-2533, canvassing the election results as required under Arizona law and the Goodyear City Charter. Councilmember Wally Campbell was excused from the meeting, while Councilmember Vicki Gillis participated by phone. Maricopa County Elections administered the July 21st election on behalf of the city and completed the official canvass following ballot tabulation, signature verification, curing of ballots, and other post-election procedures required by state law. City Clerk Jasmine Pernicano told the council the election was held to fill one mayoral seat and three council seats with terms beginning January 1, 2027. Thank you for the opportunity to present to you this morning, Pernicano said. We are considering a resolution to declare and adopt the results for the July 21, 2026 election. She reported that 17,049 ballots were cast out of 66,092 registered voters, representing nearly 26% turnout. According to the certified results, Pizzola was re-elected mayor with 12,484 votes, defeating challenger Bill Stipp, who received 3,622 votes. The three council seats were won by Brannon Hampton with 10,845 votes, Sherry Lauritano with 10,419 votes, and incumbent Vicki Gillis with 9,733 votes, while Jason Kishfell short by 331 votes, receiving 9,402. Pernicano explained that the city charter allows candidates who receive a majority of the votes cast to be elected outright without advancing to the November ballot. The city charter provides that candidates receiving a majority of the votes cast are declared elected in order of the highest number of votes received until all offices are filled, she said. Joe Pizzola received the highest number of votes for mayor, and the top three vote-getters for council are Brannon Hampton, Sherry Lauritano, and Vicki Gillis. She added that because every open seat was decided during the primary, no further election would be required. Because all offices were able to be filled at the primary election, general election is not required. The certified canvass reflects a lower turnout than the city's 2024 primary election, when 18,046 ballots were cast and voter turnout reached 30.28%. However, turnout exceeded the 18.62% recorded during Goodyear's May 2025 special election. Mayor Joe Pizzola thanked Pernicano before asking the council for comments on the resolution. No questions were raised about the certified results. Pernicano recommended adoption of the resolution declaring and adopting the results of the July 21, 2026 primary election, and she said she was available to answer questions from the council. After the resolution was read into the record, the council approved it on a 6-0 voice vote. The newly elected officials will begin their four-year terms January 1, 2027. According to the staff report, adoption of the resolution carries no additional fiscal impact because the costs of conducting the election were previously approved as part of the city's fiscal year 2027 budget. Under Arizona law, governing bodies must canvass election returns no fewer than 6 days and no more than 20 days after an election. With the council's action, the results of Goodyear's 2026 primary election are now official, and the city's mayoral and council races will not appear on the November 3rd general election ballot. And this concludes the article, Goodyear Certifies Election, Cancels November Ballot. Our next article is entitled Goodyear Teacher Arrested on Exploitation Charges. Article by Jimmy Van Wickler, West Valley View staff writer. A Goodyear charter school teacher was arrested Tuesday after police said he admitted to possessing and sharing child sexual abuse material online following an investigation that began with a cyber tip submitted to the National Center for Missing and Exploited Children. Samuel Durham Cooper, 39, was booked into the Maricopa County Sheriff's Office on 3 felony counts of sexual exploitation of a minor after Goodyear police served a search warrant at his apartment in the 15400 block of West Roosevelt Street on August 4th. According to court records, Cooper faces 1 Class 1 felony count and 2 Class 2 felony counts under Arizona law. The Goodyear Police Department said the investigation began after detectives were assigned a cyber tip from the Arizona Internet Crimes Against Children Task Force. The tip had originally been submitted to the National Center for Missing and Exploited Children by an online platform after a user uploaded and shared a file suspected of containing child sexual abuse material. Detectives reviewed the file and determined it depicted the sexual exploitation of a minor, according to police. Investigators then used search warrants and other investigative techniques to identify Cooper, a Goodyear resident, as a subscriber associated with the online account. According to a probable cause statement, investigators traced the account through subscriber records, internet protocol address information, and search warrants served on multiple online service providers. The investigation ultimately linked the account to Cooper's residence and electronic devices. On August 4th, detectives executed a search warrant at Cooper's apartment and seized multiple electronic devices, including cell phones, tablet, and a laptop, for forensic examination. Police said digital forensic analysis of those devices remains ongoing, and additional charges could be filed depending on what investigators discover. During a post-Miranda interview, Cooper admitted to seeking out and posting child sexual abuse and exploitation material online, according to police. Investigators said he acknowledged using Reddit and other online sources to obtain and share the material, and told detectives his conduct occurred during episodes related to a mental health condition. Court records also allege Cooper maintained online accounts used to upload and distribute child sexual abuse material, and that investigators recovered evidence supporting those allegations through search warrants and digital evidence collected during the investigation. In its statement, the school said it was notified of Cooper's arrest and the allegations and is cooperating with Goodyear police. We were notified of the arrest and allegations involving a teacher, and we are fully cooperating with the Goodyear Police Department as they conduct their investigation, Great Hearts Academies said in a statement. In accordance with our policy and Arizona law, the individual's employment has been terminated. As this is an active investigation, we ask that any further questions be directed to local law enforcement. Goodyear police said Cooper is employed as a teacher at Great Hearts Trivium Preparatory Academy, a charter school in Goodyear. Court records list Great Hearts Trivium as his employer, and police said detectives are coordinating with the appropriate school officials as the investigation continues. In a statement, the department said the investigation remains active and that detectives continue examining the electronic devices seized during the search warrant. Police said additional criminal charges may be considered once those forensic examinations are complete. Following Cooper's initial court appearance, a Maricopa County Superior Court judge ordered that he be held on a $200,000 cash-only appearance bond. If released, Cooper must comply with a series of conditions, including electronic monitoring and house arrest. He is prohibited from having contact with minors, may not access the internet except to pay bills, may not possess weapons or consume alcohol, and may not leave Arizona without court approval. Court records show Cooper is scheduled to appear for a status conference August 10th and a preliminary hearing August 13th in Maricopa County Superior Court. The Goodyear Police Department encouraged anyone with information related to the investigation to contact detectives at 623-932-1220. Anonymous tips also may be submitted through Silent Witness by calling 480-948-6377 or for Spanish speakers, 480-837-8446. The Arizona Internet Crimes Against Children Task Force is part of a nationwide network of law enforcement agencies that investigate technology-facilitated crimes involving the sexual exploitation of children. The National Center for Missing and Exploited Children operates the Cyber Tip Line, which receives reports from electronic service providers and members of the public about suspected online child sexual exploitation and forwards them to the appropriate law enforcement agencies for investigation. Police emphasize that the investigation remains active and that anyone with additional information is encouraged to come forward. Criminal charges are allegations. A defendant is presumed innocent unless and until proven guilty in a court of law. And this concludes the article, Goodyear Teacher Arrested on Exploitation Charges. Our next article is entitled Avondale Citizen Academy Opens Applications. Article by Joshua Fenty, West Valley View staff writer. The city of Avondale recently opened applications for the Citizen Leadership Academy, inviting residents to learn the ins and outs of municipal government. For management analyst Ariel Leo, one of the major goals of the program is to demystify the daily functions of the city. So anybody who lives here, whether recently or for several decades, knows Avondale has a rich history, but oftentimes the day-to-day can be a mystery to residents, Leo said. This program allows you to get the insights of how the city runs from the city manager's office, the council, public works, the courts, and just about any part of the city that you can imagine. The application window for Avondale's Citizen Leadership Academy will be open through the end of the month. The program is scheduled to run every week on Wednesday, 6 to 7:30 p.m. from September through December. Students of the academy will have the opportunity to gain a behind-the-scenes look at their local government, exploring the functions of public works, parks and recreation, Avondale City Council, and other major departments. The courses are designed to include multiple interactive lessons to help attendees to better understand the daily responsibilities and challenges facing city leaders and staff. While learning about the city's budgeting process, Academy participants will have the chance to draft their own budgets, facing the challenge of balancing competing priorities using a finite amount of funds. In addition to the weekly classes, the Citizen Leadership Academy season will also include multiple Saturday field trips from 9 a.m. to noon, offering a more hands-on experience. According to senior management analyst Anessa Romo, one such field trip brings the students to one of Avondale's fire stations to learn about the fire medical department. During the activity, attendees will practice CPR techniques, try on firefighting gear, and learn about all of the equipment and emergency operations while also touring the fire apparatus. One of the experiences that Romo noted is very well received by Academy participants in the public works day. Trash Services demonstrates how the arm operates to pick up the trash, and the participants also get to go to our water reclamations facility and learn a little bit more about how that operates, she said. We have a fish hatchery that they were able to check out as well, and it's always really exciting to be able to see how that works. In October, the Academy invites its students to ride on a float during the Billy Moore Days Parade, which Leo said is another beloved tradition in the program. Beyond an educational resource, the Avondale Citizen Leadership Academy also helps to develop future community leaders. According to city staff, some graduates have gone on to serve on city council, while others have taken on leadership roles throughout the community after gaining a better understanding of local government. The free program is open to Avondale residents ages 18 and older. The Academy accommodates approximately 30 participants each year, and applicants must attend at least 10 of the program's 12 sessions to graduate. Students who complete the program will be recognized for their accomplishments during a city council meeting. Looking forward to the start of this year's Citizen Leadership Academy, Romo and Leo said they're excited to meet the next round of students. More than coming to a greater understanding of the city of Avondale for themselves, the management analysts said they encourage participants to share the knowledge they gained with others as well. We're glad they really want to get involved. We hope that they enjoy the academy and that they leave with some really great takeaways from it, Romo said. Hopefully they get a comprehensive perspective of Avondale city government, but also maybe take away some resources, programs, and services that might be helpful to them and their families, and share that information with their neighbors, friends, and family. And this concludes the article, Avondale Citizen Academy Opens Applications. Our next article is entitled Fraser Earns Administrator of the Year. Article by Joshua Fenty, West Valley View staff writer. This year, Belen Soto Elementary School theme is One Storm, Endless Legacy. For Principal Courtney Fraser, that theme is an opportunity to focus on the lasting impact she will have on students and the greater community one interaction at a time. Your legacy is not just something that appears, it's something that's built over time, Fraser said. I want to be remembered as someone who sees and recognizes kids. I see who they are. I get to see them at their best and at their worst. Fraser recently received the 2026 Arizona Middle Grades Administrator of the Year Award, recognizing her performance as a school leader who demonstrates a commitment to the academic achievement, well-being, and development of her students. Though she received the award as an individual, the principal said that she attributes the success to her team as a whole, noting the ways in which their support leads to positive experiences and learning outcomes for the students. To that end, children at Belen Soto Elementary School participate in what Fraser called WIN time, standing for What I Need, and is scheduled twice a day for kindergartners through fifth graders and once for the middle school students. That's where we target their individual needs and skill gaps based on the data, Fraser said. We're constantly in this fluid grouping of kids where we're moving them from one group to another. Fraser isn't the only school's current principal. She is also the only one the school has ever had. She affectionately referred to Belen Soto Elementary as her baby and said it was important to her that it would become a kid-first school. When students enter a classroom with their parents, she said she expects the students to be greeted first as each teacher and staff member's absolute priority. The principal herself is committed to knowing almost every student's name. The only ones she doesn't know yet are new students that she's coming to know. Fraser brought many years of experience as an educator with her when she took the helm at Belen Soto as founding principal. Her aspirations in education began when she was a high school student working with the Boys and Girls Club. She said that the experience helped her to realize that teaching was her calling and went on to work as a teacher. She moved into increasingly administrative roles with a desire to enact greater change than she could from her position as a teacher, though she does hope to return to the classroom someday. In every meeting with a teacher and every interaction with a student, Principal Frazier said she is striving to have a positive and lasting impact on the Belen Soto community. Such would be her legacy. Even the STORM mascot is an acronym that reflects the school's values, she said, meaning service, teamwork, ownership, respect, and motivation. While receiving the award has been an honor and a humbling experience, Frazier said that she feels the work is far from over. She said there's always a way to improve and be better for the students. I don't want to be remembered for the building. I want to be remembered for the people that we've been able to bring in for our kids, Frazier said. We are constantly doing well and always doing better for kids, but the job is truly never done. And that's all the time we have for the article entitled Frazier Earns Administrator of the Year. This concludes news from westvalleyview.com. As a reminder, if you miss a program, you can get it on demand at sunsounds.org/broadcast info and audio/on demand. Now, let's move on to news from the Wickenburg Sun. Our first article is entitled Town of Wickenburg Remembers Longtime Public Servant Ruben Madrid. The town of Wickenburg is deeply saddened to announce the passing of former town council member and retired police sergeant Ruben Madrid, who passed away on August 10. Mr. Madrid's career of public service spanned nearly four decades, having served at the Wickenburg Police Department for 25 years before retiring as a sergeant in 2006, then serving on town council from 2010 to 2018. When he moved to Wickenburg, Mr. Madrid was an emergency medical technician for a private ambulance company. Mr. Madrid answered the call to public service for the Wickenburg Police Department, protecting the safety and well-being of residents. Following retirement from the police department at the rank of sergeant, he continued his commitment to the community's youth and education system by serving as a school security officer for Wickenburg Public Schools from 2006 to 2020. He also served on the board for the Cops Who Care organization. Mr. Madrid transitioned into local government leadership in 2010 when he successfully ran for Wickenburg Town Council, then going on to serve two terms. As a council member, his institutional knowledge, steady leadership, and love for Wickenburg helped guide the town through vital periods of growth and development. During his tenure on council, Mr. Madrid was instrumental in getting firefighters paramedic certified and ensured there were funds for training, with a goal of two paramedics every shift for each station. According to Fire Chief Ed Temerowski, that goal has been achieved for the first time this year. Ruben Madrid was the definition of a public servant, said E.G. Bratcher, mayor for the town of Wickenburg. His service to our community was profound, and he will be greatly missed. Details regarding memorial services will be shared as they become available. This concludes the article, Town of Wickenburg Remembers Longtime Public Servant Ruben Madrid. Next up, Around Town. Free Artist Demonstrations at Sigler Western Museum by Cesar Chavez, Director of Marketing. The Sigler Western Museum will offer three free artist demonstrations in conjunction with West of Center, highlights from the Wickenburg Art Club, currently on view at the museum's Cultural Crossroads Learning Center through September 27. On Saturday, August 22, from 1 to 3 p.m., artist Gina Beck will demonstrate acrylic painting and experimental mixed media techniques. Beck will explore layering and creative approaches designed to help artists break through creative blocks and discover unexpected possibilities in their work. On Saturday, August 29th, from 11 a.m. to 1 p.m., Gabriel Bitter will demonstrate encaustic techniques, an artistic process that traditionally uses heated wax combined with pigments to create richly layered surfaces. The series concludes Saturday, September 5th, from 11 a.m. to 1 p.m., when Wendy Quinn will demonstrate watercolor techniques. All three demonstrations are free and offer attendees an opportunity to watch local artists at work while exploring the annual West of Center exhibition at the Sigler Western Museum's Cultural Crossroads Learning Center, 10 North Tyner Street in Wickenburg. And this concludes the article, Free Artist Demonstrations at Sigler Western Museum. Next up, obituaries. John Cook Jr. passed away August 3rd. Next up, this week in Wickenburg history. 50 years ago, August 12, 1976, shopping center names tenants. Westcor, a shopping center developer with plans for a center on the west side of Wickenburg, has announced the major tenants of the facility. John Razor of Westcor said the three primary tenants of the shopping center would be Safeway, Revco, and Sprouse Rights. Safeway and Revco already have stores in Wickenburg. Sprouse Rights, a variety chain, will be new to the community. The shopping center, to be called West Plaza, is tentatively scheduled to open in June 1977. West Plaza will be located at the corner of Vulture Mine Road and the California Highway. 40 years ago, August 14, 1986, glider motorcycle accident injures dispatcher. Wickenburg Police Department dispatcher Richard Scott Vohl was injured Sunday afternoon when he was struck by a glider while he was riding down the Carefree Highway, State Route 74, on his motorcycle. Department of Public Safety officers said the glider was apparently experiencing mechanical difficulties and attempting to land at Turf Soaring School, located south and east of the highway. The glider came to rest in the middle of the highway, where it struck Vohl on his motorcycle. Vohl was treated and released at Boswell Memorial Hospital in Sun City. 10 years ago, August 10, 2016, fundraising visionaries bring new area to hospital. A dream came true Monday when the new Surgical and Diagnostic Center at Wickenburg Community Hospital opened for business. Not long ago, the area was just an asphalt lot west of the hospital. That was until a band of visionaries put together a plan to grow WCH into a center which could better serve the needs of Wickenburg area residents. Spearheaded by WCH Foundation Board of Chairman Art Ditto and WCH CEO and President Jim Tavery, a campaign to raise funds and expand got underway a few years ago. Next up is our Pet of the Week, which comes to us from the Humane Society of Wickenburg, whose phone number is 928-684-8801. This week's Pet of the Week is a hound mix boy dog named Soka. Dog weighs 25 pounds, is 4 months old, has an intake date of June 8, and an adoption fee of $300. The bio states this handsome hound puppy is ready to start his new adventure. With his floppy ears, soulful eyes, and nose that never stops working, Soka is a classic hound pup through and through. He's curious about everything, eager to explore new places, and always excited to make new friends, whether he's sniffing out treasures in the yard or settling in for a cuddle after playtime. Soka brings joy wherever he goes. Like any puppy, he's learning about the world one day at a time. He'll need a family willing to provide guidance, training, and plenty of patience as he grows into the amazing dog he's destined to become. In return, he'll reward you with endless love, laughter, and loyal companionship. Soka may have started life as a stray, but he deserves a future filled with soft beds, belly rubs, and a family to call his own. Could you be the one to give this sweet hound boy the happy ending he's been waiting for? Soka is ready to sniff his way right into your heart. And this concludes news from the Wickenburg Sun. I'm Karen Kelly, and you're listening to the West Valley News Digest here on Sun Sounds of Arizona. You can take Sun Sounds with you. You can get our stream and on demand on our new Sun Sounds of Arizona app for Apple and Android phones. For the remaining time, I will be reading news from Glendale, Peoria, and Surprise from yourvalley.net, the online editions of the Glendale, Peoria, Surprise Independence, the Glendale Star, and the Peoria Times. So let's keep going. Our next article comes to us from the Glendale Independent, entitled Man 59 Dies After Hours Exchanging Gunfire with Glendale Police. Independent News Media and Richard Smith. Man identified Thursday as Jeffrey Peters, 59, died Wednesday night after barricading himself inside a Glendale house and exchanging gunfire with Glendale police for hours. The man shared the home near 76th and Nicolette Avenues, a couple streets north of Glendale Avenue, with his adult daughter until recently, but she had obtained an order of protection against him, which barred him from entering the house. She was not at home, but noticed him trespassing when checking surveillance footage at the house early in the afternoon and called police. Officers tried to contact Peters after arriving at the house around 2 p.m., but he barricaded himself inside and refused contact. Officers obtained a search warrant and notified the Glendale Police SWAT team. He was found dead from a gunshot inside the house. No neighbors were injured despite the large number of shots exchanged. The suspect produced a rifle and shot at our Glendale Police Department SWAT team officers for approximately 2 hours. Our officers did return fire, but in the gunfight, two police vehicles, at least, were damaged. One of our SWAT team vehicles was rendered inoperable, and two of our drones were shot by the suspect, Glendale Police Sergeant Justin Ramsey said Wednesday night. We did try less lethal munitions and different ways and tactics to get the suspect out of the home. The neighborhood was placed on a lockdown and shelter in place. At 6 p.m., the gunfire ceased, and we located the suspect deceased inside of the home. As of Thursday, police were not certain if Peter's death was self-inflicted or the result of a shot fired by the SWAT team. Ramsey said one police officer received a minor injury and was taken to a local emergency room. He is expected to be fine. At one point, a SWAT vehicle knocked down the home's garage to try to enter that way. We train extensively and try to be the best at what we do. Our main mission is to keep our community safe, Ramsey said. The West Valley Incident Response Team was on scene and has taken over the investigation, with the Avondale Police leading this investigation. Late Wednesday night, Peter's daughter was talking to police. They also did a little research on the case itself and found that we do have a history at this home with that suspect. He is the center of an active investigation, Ramsey said. He has been known to carry weapons and have body armor and ballistic helmet. That investigation began about 2 weeks ago, Ramsey said. And this concludes the article, Man 59 Dies After Hours Exchanging Gunfire with Glendale Police. Let's continue. Our next article is Peoria Vice Mayor Headed to Republic of Korea as Part of Economic Development Delegation. Article comes to us from the Peoria Independent by Independent News Media. With surging economic momentum and record foreign direct investment, the Arizona Commerce Authority, in partnership with the City of Peoria, Amcor Technology, and others, will lead an economic development delegation visit to the Republic of Korea August 12 through 14. Peoria Vice Mayor Michael Finn will be traveling with the delegation representing Peoria, where Amcor has been building a $7 billion new advanced packaging and testing facility in the northern part of the city that is expected to create up to 3,000 new jobs. Finn said the visit is an important opportunity to strengthen the relationships that are driving Peoria's economic future. As Amcor's historic investment continues to take shape in Peoria, we're committed to fostering lasting partnerships with local, regional, and international partners to create new opportunities for innovation, workforce development, and future investment, he said. I look forward to representing our community and reinforcing that Peoria is a premier destination for advanced manufacturing and global business. During the visit, the delegation will meet with leaders across government, business, and academia sectors, as well as visit Amcor Technology Korea. The ACA will also host an Arizona forum showcasing the state's business and investment strengths. This delegation visit will further strengthen Arizona's growing partnership with the Republic of Korea, one of our fastest-growing and most important trade relationships, said Sandra Watson, President and CEO of the Arizona Commerce Authority. Arizona's collaboration with Korea industry and government partners continues to accelerate major investments, innovation, and advanced manufacturing opportunities across our state. We look forward to strengthening these ties and are grateful to our Arizona delegation partners for their leadership and support. In 2025, total trade between Arizona and Korea exceeded $2.33 billion and has grown over 160% since 2021. In 2023, Arizona opened a trade and investment office in Seoul, South Korea. The office serves as a platform to expand trade, investment, and economic collaboration between Arizona and the Republic of Korea. Amcor's history in Korea and our significant investment in Arizona give us a unique perspective on the value of international collaboration, said Kevin Engel, President and Chief Executive Officer of Amcor Technology. This delegation highlights the strong partnership between Arizona and the Republic of Korea and the important role it plays in advancing semiconductor innovation, attracting investment, and strengthening supply chain resilience. We look forward to continuing to work alongside our partners to support the growth of Arizona's semiconductor ecosystem and reinforce America's leadership in advanced manufacturing. And this concludes the article, Peoria Vice Mayor Headed to Republic of Korea as Part of Economic Development Delegation. Our next article comes to us from the Surprise Independent. Flock cameras turned off in surprise for anomaly. Written by Jason Stone. Surprise joined three other Valley cities to suspend use of automated license plate readers, or Flock cameras, after an anomaly in the use of the system had been found during a routine audit, the city said Wednesday night. A Surprise police officer was placed on administrative leave as the city investigates a potential violation of its ALPR policy. The Surprise Police Department seeks to serve our community with the highest level of integrity and dedication, and they proved that again today with their decision to quickly share emerging information related to an audit of the city's automatic license plate reader technology and take swift action to stop any potential misuse, Mayor Kevin Sartor told The Independent. Surprise operates 28 ALPR cameras across the city in a Flock camera program that began 2 years ago. Goodyear, Glendale, and Apache Junction previously suspended their Flock camera programs as well. Public trust is of the highest importance to the Surprise Police Department, and maintaining that trust requires transparency and accountability, Surprise Police Chief Evan Betcher stated in a news release. While we still need to complete an investigation into this irregularity, We are taking this incident very seriously. That is why we took immediate action to halt the program, investigate the issue, and make the community aware of it. The technology has been controversial in many cities and towns across America. Law enforcement agencies and cities are balancing public safety with personal privacy. The technology has been used to help solve many crimes, such as homicides, robberies, and carjackings. I support giving our law enforcement all of the tools they need to keep our city safe and catch criminals, but this new technology lacks the adequate guardrails in place to prohibit misuse at this time, Councilmember Jack Hastings wrote on social media. Surprise officials said the city will evaluate additional safeguards to strengthen its oversight of the program. As with any technology-based tool, there are evolving challenges that we must continually monitor and address with appropriate safeguards to ensure transparency, accountability, and vigilance, Sartor said. We must take these actions seriously, and I am proud our chief's decision to step back and pause the use of this tool so we can ensure we have the safeguards needed to use them appropriately. Surprise Police Sergeant Rick Hernandez said the department will release information at the end of the investigation or when appropriate beforehand. This technology has proven to be extremely valuable in solving serious crimes, Betcher said. As we look to continue the use of this public safety tool, we want strong safeguards in place that not only alert of misuse, but also prevent it. The chief said the department will beef up its internal protections before re-implementing the cameras. And this concludes the article, Flock Cameras Turned Off in Surprise for Anomaly. Our next article is entitled MYAC Builds Glendale's Future Leaders. Article is from the Glendale Star, written by Joshua Fenty, Glendale Star staff writer. For about 40 years, the Mayor's Youth Advisory Commission, MYAC, has called on young residents of Glendale to give back to their community while learning what it means to serve their city. For program advisor Ann Thompson, the high school students volunteering today could become the adults leading Glendale tomorrow. The MYAC kids love to help people. What better way to help people than to do community service for people that aren't as fortunate, Thompson said. We're looking for future city leaders, and what better way to become a city leader than to learn how the city works? To that end, the MYAC students recently supported the City of Glendale's annual backpack drive, helping to fill 598 backpacks with school supplies for Glendale Elementary School District students. Each backpack was filled with notebooks, pencils, pens, folders, and other essentials to support the children as they return to school. Backpack Drive is one of various charitable efforts that the MYAC volunteers undertake throughout the year. Adopt a Street is a quarterly service project that Thompson said the students have participated in for nearly 3 years out of a desire to help keep the city clean. Looking ahead, the young leaders also lend their aid in November for Mayor Jerry Wire's Stand Up for Veterans event and again in December for the Hometown Christmas Parade. I am incredibly proud of these young men and women and the difference they continue to make in our community, Wire said in a statement. These students are choosing to give back and make Glendale a better place, especially for those in need. They represent the next generation of leaders, and I couldn't be prouder of what they are accomplishing. The MYAC program is open to 9th through 12th grade students in the city of Glendale and offers its members opportunities to learn how municipal government operates while giving back to the community. As part of the group, each student is required to complete 20 hours of community service during the year, though Thompson noted many go beyond that requirement. Having advised MYAC for 4 years, Thompson said that she gets to watch the students grow in their time with the commission. In developing leadership skills and a greater appreciation for the challenges involved in running a city, She said that the students mature considerably. Thompson recalled an instance in which she watched a student enter the program in her freshman year of high school and become president of the commission and lead other students, contributing multiple impressive community service ideas of her own. "I see a lot of maturity in the kids and a respect for how difficult it is to run a city," she said. "They just grow up." Applications to join MYAC are accepted year-round. Prospective members complete an application through the mayor's website and submit a recommendation from a teacher or mentor before applications are reviewed by Thompson and Wires. In the 4 years that she has advised MYAC students, Thompson said she has never denied an application. As MYAC marks roughly 4 decades in Glendale, Wires said the program's future was not always guaranteed. 14 years ago, city leaders discussed ending the commission, but the mayor said he advocated for preserving it because of the opportunities it provides Glendale's young people. "MYAC is very important to me," Wires said in a statement. 14 years ago, there were discussions about ending the program, but I believe strongly in what MYAC provides for our young people and made sure we kept it going. Seeing the impact these students have on our community year after year makes that decision even more rewarding. And that concludes the article, MYAC Builds Glendale's Future Leaders. The next article comes to us from the Glendale Star. It's an op-ed entitled Not Said, written by Dr. Curtis Finch, Deer Valley Unified School District Superintendent. It's that time of year when candidates flood the airwaves, newspapers, social media, and mailboxes as they compete for your vote in November. In Arizona, however, the primary often greatly impacts who ultimately has a chance to win in the general election. Legislative districts play a powerful role in shaping that outcome, and Arizona's transient population adds additional challenges for the November election. Our extreme summer heat sends many snowbird voters out of state until October or November, just in time for the general election. Because they are naturally disconnected from what has been happening on the ground in Arizona through the end of the last legislative session and through the summer, many rely heavily on their party's infamous golden or blue ticket, rather than researching candidates the way year-round residents do. As I like to say, if you see a real Arizonan, take a picture, as not very many residents are originally from Arizona. Everyone seems to be from somewhere else, which makes for great conversations. Go to almost any Arizona sporting event, and you'll find half the crowd cheering for the visiting team. The beautiful 9-month weather attracts people from everywhere, but it also creates political issues. One downside is that many permanent visitors, myself included, still feel strong feelings for their former home. Around tax time, you'll often hear voters say, "I paid my taxes in fill in the blank. I don't want to pay them here." But they forget that someone else once paid for their schools, roads, and bridges at home for their family generations before. That's how a democratic republic works. Communities pay it forward because previous generations did the same for them. When your heart remains somewhere else, it can be difficult to fully invest in Arizona's future. That disconnect also affects elections. Voters who haven't followed candidates' records, community involvement, or voting history are much more likely to follow party recommendations than to do their own homework. They are also more susceptible to campaign ads because they missed the debates and controversies while they were home. That's why when campaign ads appear, I pay as much attention to what the candidates don't say as to what they do. For example, phrases like supporting parental educational options, giving parents the last word on education, empowering parents, or putting students first may sound appealing, But if a candidate never says they support public education, that omission tells you something. If the word public is missing, they are likely prioritizing vouchers, private schools, and charter schools over traditional public schools. Whatever issue matters most to you, look beyond campaign slogans. Research every candidate. Research their voting record and social media posts. Examine their ties to the community and evaluate what they have actually accomplished for the greater good, not just their party. Never cast a ballot simply because a name appears on a party's golden or blue ticket. When the campaign ads arrive, pay closer attention to what the candidates don't say than what they do. And this concludes the article entitled Not Said. And we'll finish up with the article Heroes Among Us. This comes to us from the Peoria Times, written by Judy Bloom. Hold on! That's what one 16-year-old lifeguard did in Santa Cruz as he saved the life of a 10-year-old who was getting pulled under by massive waves. The video footage of Ryder Williams has gone viral, showing the heroics of a young teenager gripping a limp boy as he battled the crushing force of nature. It is truly a tremendous, dramatic snapshot of how a life is saved. Ryder kept his arms around the boy in what he called a gorilla grip. Not an easy feat when you are in fierce waves, and Ryder held on. When we watch the video, we get a glimpse at the best of human qualities. We witness in a few minutes what hope, courage, and stamina look like. It shows a picture in real time of never giving up and not letting go. It exemplifies the power of what one person can do. Yet sometimes it takes more than one. 80. This is the number of people who formed a human chain in Panama City, Florida, several years ago, to rescue a family. 9. That is the number of family members caught in 15 feet of water in a strong riptide, unable to swim back to shore. It started when two boys started yelling for help. Their mother realized what was happening and swam out. Then she was in trouble, so the grandmother and the rest of the family swam to the rescue. All 9 became trapped in a nightmare. And the mother said she thought this is how it all ends. A couple from Alabama heard the cries for help. They rounded up 80 strangers on the crowded beach to stand side by side, locking arms from shore to as far out as the last person could stand. Then, with boogie boards, people ferried one by one the stranded family members to the first person on the human chain, and they were passed down to shore. 80 people of various beliefs, backgrounds, and ages came together spontaneously in the best, most humane way possible, and they saved an entire family. It is a depressing news cycle we have had lately. Nothing much to celebrate. Tragic, disturbing headlines flash before our eyes. Then something extraordinary happens. It is in that shining moment that ordinary folks coming together in a monumental way restore our faith in humanity. One lifeguard, one group of strangers, lives saved. It's the story we need to read. The video clip we cannot stop watching. A reminder of the goodness of people and how anything is possible. My minister likes to say that each of us comprises the human chain of compassion and caring, played out in our daily lives. We may unknowingly pull someone from rough waters through our small acts of kindness. Who are you rescuing today? A stranger you exchange pleasant words with? The neighbor you help with a chore? That friend you call? Child you hug? The parent you care for and the colleague you encourage form the strong, unbreakable chain of compassion. Dear readers, let's hold steady onto each other. It keeps our spirits afloat. And this concludes the article, Heroes Among Us. That's all the time we have for today. Thank you for joining me for the West Valley News Digest. You can hear Sun Sounds on your Echo Dot or smart home device. I'm Karen Kelly, your Sun Sounds volunteer. Please stay tuned for more great programming here on Sun Sounds of Arizona.